praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's join together in welcoming once again to the platform, Brother Kenneth Copeland.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lynn. Woo! Shout amen, somebody. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Give the Lord glory and praise. Praise the Lord. Come on, just lift your hands and give forth praise. I'll tell you, this room is full of the anointing right now. Your healing is here. Hallelujah. Your healing is here right now. Receive it. Take it. Thank you, Lord. I heard the Lord say, just as I stepped out here, tonight, in this service, right now, and all the rest of the evening, there is a very special anointing to heal families, family situations, family problems. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I can give you from 40 years of experience, and some of it I learned the hard way too, was in the healing of a family, among family members and situations that arise and that sort of thing, the best, quickest way through that is not, oh, God, change my wife. That ain't the way you do it. It's, oh, God, change me. Help me help my wife. Help me help my children. Help me minister to my household, oh, Jesus. I'll tell you what, if you get hold of that, and no devil in hell can hold you back. Praise God. Amen. This is your time. This is the year of the open door. Where at the beginning of the year, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, this is 2007 is the year of the open door. I am opening doors that no devil and no man can shut. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the door is open for your family. The door is open for your healing. The doors are open. But now you're going to have to get up and go through them. I'll tell you something else about that open door. The Lord been talking to me about this part of it. Anytime that He says there's an open door, that means the good part's on the other side of the door. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? The good part's on the other side of the door. It's worth getting up and charging through that open door. Give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Glory to God. Turn around and shake hands with two or three people. Smile just big as you can. Tell somebody you love them in the Lord and you're glad they're here tonight. We're glad you're here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have a very specific assignment from the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to you during our offering times in the evening. So I've never ministered on this in all the years I've been in the ministry just quite like this. This is something that the Lord gave me to minister to you in this meeting. Now, I'll definitely use it in the future because it has really blessed me. Praise God. But I want to share it with you at His instruction. If you'll open your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians, and we will look at the New Testament definition of prosperity and a prosperous New Testament believer. It's all in here. The definition, God's definition of prosperity is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In the Old Testament, it is the 112th Psalm. In the New Testament, this is the New Testament definition of, actually, of the 112th Psalm, because it quotes it in certain parts of it. But this is a picture of you. It's a picture of me. It's a picture of anyone. This is what is in the heart of God. This is what He sees for the body of Christ. So it's a picture of me, it's a picture of you, picture of anybody that'll believe God and take Him at His word. Now, Father, we pray over this in the name of Jesus. I'm asking You, sir, for this anointing of accuracy to bring this forth clear, accurate, in a faith spawning form that's quick to receive and quick to victory. In the name of Jesus, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is talking about, it begins with, in talking about a very specific offering. This has to do with an offering. It's very proper that it be read and studied and believed at a time of praying over an offering in your giving, and make it a not only just a part of your daily confession of faith and so forth, but anytime you're preparing an offering, this should be a part of your preparation. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word is seed, and seed produces after its own kind. And this will produce, I guarantee you, these words right here that we're about to read will produce debt-killing, poverty-annihilating, Holy Ghost faith. Amen. I got to get down there where I can talk to you. Amen. There's some good things here. I'll be down here in a minute anyway. I might as well get down here and start. Amen. Gloria, hold my book for me here. We're going to need that in a minute, please. Verse 6. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now this is a key point right here. Now listen very carefully. Every man or every person, man here is referring to mankind. Every person, according as he purposes in his heart or in his spirit. There should be spirit purpose in your offerings. Amen. I mean, you could give a mountain of money. I mean, a huge offering without purpose. And it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Purpose is generated out of and is a part of Bible hope. Faith, hope, love are three living forces. Now abides. Faith, hope, and love. Abide means to live. It's abiding. These are forever living forces. And they work in combination with one another. Faith without hope is incomplete. Hope without faith has no substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And without love, faith won't work. So without love, then faith doesn't work, then hope has no substance. So they are intertwiningly dependent on one another. So they actually, we separate them, faith, hope, and love, in order to study them. But they work in combination. They are one living force when they're put together. Amen. So, purpose is born out of Bible hope, energized by faith, ministered by the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of love. Now, I need to say this before we get any further, because this is going to be a key part of this, of my part of the ministry all this week. God has ministered something to me that has, it has just leapfrogged my faith. The word mandate. Now, most people understand what the word mandate means. It's an order. It is a demand. It's a very big word. It has a lot. What people can put a mandate on a leader, to where it is, what is the mandate of the people? Where this senator is concerned, or where this president is concerned, what is the mandate of the people? What are they demanding from this person? They all got together and they are demanding something here. Big word. Do you good to look it up and study it and study the ins and the outs of it. What is Jesus' motive in the earth? Why is he here? What drives him? What motivates him? What's the bottom line to his calling? He is here. He is on the throne. He is King of kings and Lord of lords for one basic primary reason: to fulfill Adam's mandate in the earth. God commanded Adam. Now, it didn't come forth as a command, because there was no curse there at the time God said it. But Adam's mandate, his command from heaven, the anointing on him was to be fruitful and multiply and fill up this earth with that Garden of Eden and subdue this earth and have dominion over it. That was a mandate from God. That was the first thing that human beings ever heard. It absolutely was the perfect will of God for all men, for all time, forever and ever, eons to come. The first thing he ever said to a living human being. And Jesus, entire calling in life, he came here to carry out his Father's words, to carry out Adam's mandate. What is the anointing on Jesus? It is the blessing of Adam. That's the reason he's called the last Adam. Hallelujah. That's what he is. That's what that anointing is. It's what raised him from the dead. Now, this is a major thing where that is concerned. This is a major portion right here. This is a big, big, big part of that. So now listen carefully. Every person according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Let's talk about that for a moment. Now, I'm going to direct this a lot of this, what I'm about to say here. I really want to direct this to anybody that is in the ministry, anybody that receives offerings. Your and my receiving of offerings need to be in line with this, as well as people that are giving offering. When you and I give offerings, we need to be giving like this. We don't need to set up something that goes crosswise of this and then expect somebody to give into it. Huh? I'm not here tonight putting some kind of necessity on you for you to give. Your giving tonight is not going to make or break this ministry one way or the other. I don't care if I didn't have a dime. If you could take away everything Gloria and I have, if we had absolutely nothing left, if we were standing stripped naked, no buildings, no grounds, no cars, no nothing, no machinery, no money, no nothing, stripped, you haven't touched my ministry yet. Because my ministry is in here. The ministry is in here. You can't get to it. You can't touch it. Amen. God nor me, the one, going to let you. And I'm sure not going to let the devil get his hands on it. I can guarantee you that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, my point is this. I cannot afford, as a minister of the gospel, to violate this. I can't afford to generate or in some way try to produce some sort of necessity for you to give, trying to stir you up, trying to get you to help me stay on television, trying to get you in some way or another to move over into where you get some kind of idea. If you don't get, we're both going to go down the drain. There's one guitar picker stood up there on the platform one night and opened his guitar case, took the guitar out of it, stood it over there in the corner, and he said, if you don't fill up this guitar case, there's some of you folks going to die on the way home. Well, I got an idea for his guitar case, but it ain't putting money in it. He ought to have to wear it. No, that's just as wrong as him, so I got to stay away from that, see. But can you see where that's a violation of this very principle? You can violate it on both sides. Now, purpose is in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. You don't sow something in an offering and then just watch the bucket till it goes out of sight. Oh, God. There goes my rent. There it goes, right there. Sure as the world, dear God. Boy, I mean, ain't going to be no pancakes in the morning. Well, now you would have done completely away with that had you been giving with purpose in your heart. With purpose, you don't even think about that. You have purpose now. There's purpose in your giving. There's scriptural reason behind what you're doing, and you've become a sower of seed. You're sowing. You're not just bucket plunking. You're sowing. There's purpose. Your heart's not begrudging because you've become a cheerful giver. If you're not cheerful in your giving, don't give. Go wait in the car or something. Or better yet, just sit there with a smile on your face and just hang around. You'll be cheerful before long. It'll rub off on you. Praise the Lord. And when you get cheerful about it, then you begin to develop purpose. And then you begin to see, dear God, look at this. I'm going somewhere here. Amen. Amen. So then the Spirit of God begins to move. Now then, purpose, not grudgingly, of necessity, God loves a cheerful, prompt to do it believer. So now, God is able. God is able. This is easy for him. Now remember, you remember what his will is? You remember what Adam's mandate was and still is? God don't ever change. It'll be there forever. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. That word translated replenish in Hebrew means to gloriously fill up the earth with good fruit and goodness and overflowing. It just goes on and on and on. Amen. The whole earth shall be filled with his glory. And in the beginning, that glory was manifest in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
That blessing, that anointing, that release of God's power in his word, all the faith and the hope and the love that you and I possess is all designed by God to create that garden everywhere it goes with every around and through and about every child of God. Amen. It's that big. And it'll do it. A blessing doesn't know any difference. You release it, it just starts trying to make that Garden of Eden everywhere it goes. Gloria and I live like that. Oh, we were sitting out on our porch the other day. We got the prettiest place you ever saw in your life. The birds love it. I mean, everything. And we were sitting out there. We said, look at this. Gee, man, this is it, isn't it? This is the Garden of Eden right here. Amen. And it gets better all the time. Hallelujah. We're talking about prosperity. But that's what prosperity is. Prosperity is what the world ain't got a clue what prosperity is. The Bible said the wicked prosper in the world, but the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Woo-hoo-hoo, glory! He is able to make all grace come a-running at you. Abound toward you. You know what that is? That's the Garden of Eden trying its best to get you to accept it. Instead of, well, you know, I guess we didn't mean it for the rest of our life. Dear God, I guess that Sears debt's going to follow me and my grandkids and my great-grand. Yeah. As if that's some kind of big joke. Well, what would you do if you won the lottery? I guess I'd just put it on my bill as far as it goes. People make fun of that kind of stuff, and it isn't funny. Not funny to God. This ain't no joke to him. It cost him everything he had to get this thing back. It cost him Calvary. It cost him having to do a 3-day stint in hell to get this back for you. And it ain't funny to him. But it's gloriously, hilariously full of joy now. Amen. Hallelujah. He's able to make it all come abounding towards you. what, Brother Copeland? What kind of grace? Well, right here it is. That you always having all. Oh, that'll make a cheerful giver out of you. Always having all. Say always.
Always.
Having.
Having.
All.
All.
All what? Sufficiency. Sufficiency means more than enough, not barely enough, more than enough. It's not sufficient unless there's some to spare. It has to be over and above. It has to be abounding grace. It has to be fruitful, multiply, fill up the whole world with it kind of grace. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just breaking out in faith all over. Amen. I just got a real case of it going here. This is just really fun. Now then, all sufficiency in all things. All, always. All, always. All, always. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I owe $100 million. All, always. All, always. You think God ain't worth $100 million? Why, even sinners can get $100 million. $100 million ain't no big money anymore. It was certainly what it is to me. But it isn't God. And it shouldn't be to you. That ought not look big to you. Amen. So, you know, somebody said, whoa, it sure doesn't look big to me. $100 million don't look big to Bill Gates. Now, it probably, he act like it does because he's real tight. Well, he'll tell you himself. I mean, he's the type, you know, he don't want to spend, wasn't for his wife probably. He never would spend anything. He's a billionaire before he knew he had any money, I think. Because he's involved in other things. But the reason why that's no big thing to him is because he got more than that. See, sufficient is more than that. Now, somebody will say, well, what about $10? Well, that ain't no big deal. But I remember when it was a big deal to Gloria and me. I came home one day and told her, I was out on the road with Brother Robert. She was at home wondering where she's going to get the next meal. And I came home with a big smile on my face, come running in the door. I said, we're partners with Brother Roberts for $10 a month. Her face fell. She said, where are we going to get $10 a month? She hadn't heard the sermon. I said, Gloria, I can have the man's anointing for $10 a month. Sound like the best deal I ever heard. I'd been in that partner service, see, and she hadn't. I said, sit down there, girl. So I preached it to her, and she got excited about it. Hallelujah. Well, $10 is a big thing. $10 now, no big deal. Why? Because I got more than $10. And the big part of it is, I found out how to get that $10, and I haven't forgotten it. And I found out it'll work on $10, it'll work on $1,000, it'll work on $10,000, it'll work on $100,000, it'll work on $1 million, it'll work on $100 million, it'll work on $500 million, and it'll work on $1 billion, and it'll work on $1 trillion, because it'll move heaven and earth. Same principle. Amen. Same principle. Now, look at this part. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. Now see, this ninth verse is quoting the 112th Psalm that starts out with, blessed is the man. It's talking about the blessing. Blessed is the man. And wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now then, He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. Now, what does the word, the Greek word, apostle mean? The sent one. It can be translated appointed. I could say to you, I'm sending you to Oklahoma City. Or, I have appointed you to go to Oklahoma City for me. See, it means the same thing. Now, depending on the circumstances and situation, an appointment or an assignment or so forth, but it basically means appoint someone or assign someone to a specific task, office, so forth and so on. Now, in just simple Greek, I mean, it just means to be sent. Your child could be an apostle to the kitchen after bread. You know, I mean, but when you apply it, and you and I are stuck with this in the English language simply because we never translated it out of Greek to start with, so we're stuck with that word as a title. But it didn't change its meaning. It means that God sent someone. You could have translated that emissary. We translated it when we lost our nerve into missionary. When we decided there wasn't any more apostles, we had to call them something. So we called them missionaries. Real missionaries are apostles. They have an apostolic calling. Now, you can go into a lot of different things here, but for right now, this will do for the meaning of that word. Now, we know what the word Christ means, right? It means the anointed one, the anointing that should have been translated out of Greek but wasn't. And the Greek word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. But it got left alone and without translating it, people thought it was Jesus' title or his last name or something. So it is not. It's not not part of his name. It's not a title. It's referring to the anointing, the power of God in and on his life to do what? Well, to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Yeah, but that's not that's part of that anointing. That's part of that calling. That you go back and pick up the entire thing, and it is the anointing, the power of God to carry out Adam's mandate to fill up the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm really excited over that word, man. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Now, anointing. So we know what that is. We got a handle on that. Sent one, anointing. Now let's read this first verse of Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the one whom God sent and high priest of our profession, the anointed Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. He's faithful to him that called him, appointed him, and anointed him. You notice the word Christ? And most particularly, when it's before his name. Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. This is what he's anointed to do. God appointed him, called him, appointed him, anointed him, empowered him.
Amen.
Over our words as high priest. Now we're going to have to deal with high priest.
Amen.
Amen. This is different from being Lord. Now we're dealing with high priest. Now in this, let's go back over there now to 2 Corinthians 9. Stay with me now. We're just about there. Now we've talked about all sufficiency in all things, always, always, so that you might be generous to every good work. Now notice the 10th verse. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. I quoted that wrongly for a long, long time. And every time I said it, if I was in prayer or something where I'd think, you know, pay a little attention to it, it always grabbed me. That wasn't quite right. I'd say, well, you know, he provides seed for the sower. He provides bread for the eater and so forth and so on. He is our provider and blah, blah, blah. Well, and actually, Jesus is our source. God is our source. Well, that's true, but we didn't care that far enough. The blessing is the source. Amen. Well, of course God's the source. Of course Jesus is the source. But that's what he's here to do, is carry out that blessing.
Amen.
Now, he that, it doesn't say provides. What does it say there? He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Well, it said both. Both minister bread for your food and minister multiplication of your seed sown. Now some of you just jumped ahead of me right then. And that's good. I'm glad you did. Now wait a minute. Let me read something to you here. This is the word priest. Now he's the high priest. Amen. The word translated priest means one authorized, appointed, empowered as an agent to administer. Well, minister is just short for administer. Now, what does administer or minister mean? To have charge of as chief agent to execute or carry into effect. To manage, conduct, furnish, supply, dispense, distribute, direct, control, execute, superintend, to furnish help or to be of service. Jesus is ready as high priest to administer, manage, conduct, supply, execute, distribute, seed for you to sow. Ooh. He is ready. I got to get back to my list. Before the week's up, I'll know this thing. My heart, I just about got it down now. To manage, conduct, furnish, supply, dispense, distribute, direct, control, execute, superintend, help, and be of service. To bring bread for you to eat. And to manage, conduct, furnish, supply, dispense, distribute, direct, control, execute, and superintend the multiplying of your seed sown. And manage, conduct, furnish, supply, dispense, distribute, direct, control, execute, and to superintend and to execute and carry into effect the increase of the fruits of your righteousness and your personal enrichment. That's what that verse says. It say nothing about him providing it. Said he administer it to you. He will execute it in your life. He will administer this thing to your life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm getting running happy here. I'm about to take off. Oh, glory be to God. Let me ask you something. Didn't he say he's able to make all grace abound towards you? Did you earn your salvation? Huh? What about it, man? Did you earn the baptism of the Holy Ghost? No. Did you earn your healing?
No, sir.
What made you think you're going to have to earn your money?
Oh, praise Jesus. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Earn your wealth. Huh? Well, you know. Somebody got to work for a living around here. It didn't say you quit working. It said you quit working for a living.
Yep. That's right.
Well, I'm on a fixed income. Well, you fixed it. What does the New Testament say about a living? It said, let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands. Let him work that which is good in order that he may have to give to him who needs. Jesus is going to minister and administer seed for you to sow. That begins with whatever job he told you to go get. Now, if you're the one that went and got that job, you're already off base. Because you went because it was in a certain town. You went because of what they paid instead of going because that's where God wanted you to start with. He may put you on a job that doesn't pay near what you thought you ought to have. But if you're where he told you to be, then Jesus begins to minister and administer and supply seed for you to sow. The multiplying of the seed sown. All the food on your table. Woo, doesn't have nothing to do with your salary. Amen. What has to do with the salary? The blessing! I can't holler loud enough. I'm trying to get it inside your head. And down into your heart. I wish you had a zipper on your brain. I'd open her up and dump it in there, dear God. Well, we probably, good thing you ain't got a zipper on your brain. No telling what'd jump out of there when we unzipped it. Ah, hey, that reminds me, I got to tell you this before I go any further. I'm so thrilled over this. A young man wrote us in response to a prayer request. He had written in and we prayed. His dad number of years ago, somebody like beat him to death. They thought they'd killed him, and they found him in this horrible, right at death's door. And they'd crushed his skull. They just shattered the top of his head. Well, everybody got online and started praying. This is back years ago. And God saved his life. And they took that crushed and mush of a skull and put a steel plate on there. Well, they wanted prayer. I mean, this thing started hurting him. I mean, bad. It got to where it was just almost unbearable. This plate was moving around or something, and it had gotten out of place, and it just really terrible thing. And they took him in, and the doctors, when they made the incision in his scalp, the steel plate jumped out. Jumped out. And they said the video, you know, that was in the surgical suite there, they could hear what these doctors were saying. One of those doctors said, "What caused that?" Another one said, "I don't know, but where did that come from?" His skull was back. I'm talking about, I'm talking about a 6-inch by 8-inch plug in the top of his head, and he got all new skull, and it was pushing that plate out of there, and when they cut that skin, that plate just jumped out. I guess it jumped in the floor. Either that or somebody caught it. It jumped plumb off his head. They sewed her up. He got his skull back. That's grace abounding towards you. Amen. Hey, folks, this is the day and hour we're living in right now. I mean, this is available to you. It's available to me. He's able to make these things abound towards you. Jesus has taken his place. See, we're bumping right up next to the millennium. You and I'll never know the tribulation. The tribulation is not under Jesus' watch. He's not the minister of the tribulation.
Amen.
Amen. That's not his job. And when we get out of here, that'll go on, but that doesn't take away from Jesus' time. Amen. That belongs to the Father and to Israel and that business. And you and I just keep right on going. The moment that rapture takes place, we're in the millennium. Oh, yeah. Amen. Then you're going to see some real action. You know what that whole 1,000 years is all about? Carrying out Adam's mandate in this earth. Bring it to pass, and then close her down. And then we get to start over again. Woo! Glory be to God. The Bible said there was a new heaven and a new earth, but it didn't say anything about God creating it by himself.
Amen.
We're going to get in on this one, Bubba. Yeah, we're going to get to be there, the Lord said. You try it. Me? No, you won't be talking like that because you will already have had 1,000 years of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you be ready. Yeah, you be ready to say, come on. Come on, Lord. Let me in there. Let me in there, coach. I believe I can do it. I can create one of them planets. Let me have it. Let me do it. At least let me have it after you get done with it, will you? Please? You'd be like Caleb. I'll take that planet, God. Thank you. Now, you know, we press that and we're amused and thrilled by it, but this is reality. That's coming to pass. It should have come pass already. So we're going to get another shot at this thing. Only this time it's going to be under Jesus' Lordship, and it's going to get carried out just exactly like our Father designed it. And we're off and running for eternity. Somebody give the Lord a shout and amen. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Well, we'll take that up during the week, like the Lord said, and we'll talk about some of it every service as the Lord directs. Did you get anything out of that tonight? This is true where any part of the blessing is concerned. Now, think about this. if the blessing's power, that blessing, the power, the anointing of it was to create that Garden of Eden, well, its first job then would be to remove the curse. Because there wasn't any curse in that garden, was there? There's no curse in this blessing. So, was there any sickness or disease in that garden? Then healing is part of the blessing. Was there any poverty? No. We know that the word says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Then people prospering in God is part of the blessing. Can you understand that? Ooh, glory to God. Say it out loud. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we pray over this offering tonight and we receive it with purpose as the people give. And we thank you, Jesus, our high priest. Oh, my, my, my. We partake of your priesthood, Lord. Thank you. And we're so appreciative. We're so grateful to you for what you've done. What you are doing, we thank you for it. Reveal to the people, Lord, what your purpose is, because that's our purpose. And as soon as we hear your purpose, your plan, your pursuit, what you're doing, that's where we want to go. That's where we'll be, because that's where the blessing will be in its greatest, most outstanding, multiplied form. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need an offering envelope, you'd like to have a receipt for your giving, if you raise your hands, the ushers will administer that envelope to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The word says that we are kings and priests. It's our job to administer under him. So, as God moves on you, he'll minister seed through you for somebody to sow. And he will minister food for somebody through you that's bread for their table. And at the same time, he's ministering the multiplication of your seed sown. I mean, that's the way all this works. And it's a glorious thing. We'll spend some time in it this week and we'll learn many, many, many wonderful things. Amen. Now, ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, if you would, please go ahead and receive the offering. Those of you watching on the internet, you're an integral part of all of this. You're involved in it, so just follow the prompts on your screen there, and it'll tell you how to manage that and what to do about it. Pray over it. Praise God. And we'll believe God together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless your heart. Come, oh man, you're gonna be hearing a lot of things from them. Praise God. Father, we come before the word tonight with expectant hearts. We are thrilled beyond measure. It is marvelous in our eyes, the things that you're doing. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis once more, please. To the 26th chapter. Genesis chapter 26. Amen. Praise God. Everybody, we did this in our morning service this morning, but there's a lot of people here that weren't here this morning. One thing is this. This is our 30th anniversary in this facility. And not only that, this will be our last year in this facility. Next year, we'll be in the new facility over in Long Beach. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, please. This is so special to Gloria and me, our 30th anniversary here. And there's a lot of things have happened and changed over the years. We've all changed and for the better. Praise God. Amen. And I would appreciate it if you would take the time to register, please. There's no price or no charge for registering. And we have some things that we want to give you and bless you with. But we want to have the largest registration we've ever had in this facility. So pray about it. And, well, really, you don't have to pray about it. Just go do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I prayed about it. I prayed for you. So just go register. Amen. And then there's this. Brother Jesse, would you stand, please? Now, we did this morning. And so a lot of you were not here, so you didn't get the blessing. So you can join with us right now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesse. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. God bless you, Jesse. We love you, man. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now that that's over with, we'll get... Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 26. One of the reasons, and I think since I began at the Lord's instruction to minister on the subject of the blessing, one of the reasons why it is so important to have words like mandate and God to help us with this is because we have belittled the word blessing until it's almost meaningless and worthless in the hearts, minds, and thinking of Christian people. And that's pitiful. Boil it down to where it's something you say when somebody sneezes. God bless you. God bless one and all. And have absolutely no meaning at all. And then right on the other hand, if somebody were to dare say, I bless you. Who's he think he is? Blessing somebody. Almost totally meaningless. So it takes a new body of words and meanings and amplifications to get through to our thinking the magnitude of this. It means to empower, yes. The first time it was ever used in the Bible, God blessed them. Talking about Adam and his wife. God blessed them. Say, that Hebrew word was to declare. It's exactly the same as light be. Man be. Be blessed. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion over the earth and subdue it. Powerful. Powerful. To a magnitude and a place that is beyond human comprehension. We have to have the anointing and the revelation from God to have any insight into the import and the impact of what he said. All that humankind could ever know, could ever understand, could ever need, could ever desire, could ever
to ever be involved in his existence was in those words. If Adam hadn't sinned, that would be the whole Bible, except for the joy reports about the blessing, the mandate. Hallelujah. It's universe wide. Hallelujah. Now then, here is a place in the scripture that gives us impact here and gives us insight into how big this thing is with God. Genesis chapter 26. Have you found that place yet? All right. Verse 2. The Lord appeared unto Isaac. Well, now, hey, come on now. There's something really strong here. Amen. For God to appear to a man. This is not a light thing. And it wasn't because the man sneezed. God appeared to him. And said, don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I will show you of. Sojourn in the land. That means you travel through that land like you own it. Now, sojourn is a faith attitude. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. Do you see it? I will empower you. For unto you and unto your seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Ooh-wee. I will perform. Now, people all over the world are still trying to get God to perform. I remember, Gloria, thank you. This is nice. Gloria went back there and said, put that podium down there. She got tired of holding my book, I guess. No, I like hers. Hers is a double decker. Hers is wider than mine. It's a double decker. She got so many Bibles. They had to build a bigger one and split it in two where she'd stack them in two rows. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't need to do that because as long as she does that, I can find out from her whatever I need to know. Amen. I've been doing that for a long time. Now, I will perform the oath. I had one fella come to me one time. He said, Copeland, I know God heals. I just can't figure out how to get him to do it. Well, he's just honest about it where other people were, trying to theologically explain why he didn't and wouldn't and never had much. But he just told the truth. He said, I know he does. I just can't figure out how to get him to do it. Well, it didn't take all that long to tell him how to get him to do it, The fact of the matter was, he's already done it. Amen. Quit trying to get him to do something he's already done and start receiving what he's already done. Amen. Amen. Now, he told Isaac, I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham, your father. and I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I'll give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now then, look with me. Turn back over there to Genesis chapter 1. Let's get the blessing, the mandate of Adam. Adam's calling, God's command on him. Now, verse 26. Well, let's go back over to the very first chapter. Let's read the very first verse. We need to establish something here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now look at verse 3. God said, "Let there be light." Now, let's straighten that out a little bit. The Hebrew text is simply said, God said, light be. Light was. Now that was not sunshine. Sun wasn't created 4 days later. So what are we talking about here? I want to take a moment here and deal with this because you can't say this too many times. You know, I mean, we're out there in territory that most of us have absolutely never heard anything about. I mean, religion hadn't got a clue what we're talking about. And never will. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about God and His family. We're talking about reality. Amen? Now, it's hard. Our minds demand a beginning and an end. We're willing to accept eternity without end, but we have to do that by faith because our little old minds really would like to put an end out there somewhere, but it says, you know, some kind of something or other where we can get some kind of, well, how long is eternity? You know, I don't know unless I can find out what the end of it is out there somewhere. No. Well, how did God begin? Ain't none of your business.
Amen.
Your brain would have to be as big as this auditorium to get that. You know, all of us put together would never be able to handle that. He didn't begin. I told you couldn't get as far as we're going to go with that. I told you couldn't handle that. Amen. So just leave that with God. You don't have to believe He began. You have to believe He is.
Amen.
Amen. Now, amen. Now, it's, oh my goodness. Do you have any idea what nothing is? It's nothing. That's big one, it just. It's nothing. You say, "Oh, outer space." No, that's not nothing. That's outer space. Amen. See? No, that isn't nothing. Somebody said, "Well, He created the world out of nothing." No, He didn't. The Word doesn't say that at all. It said He created it out of something you can't see. Didn't create it out of nothing. It was created out of faith, spiritual substance. Now, pretend for a moment that you know what nothing is. And when God stood up to say, "Light be," He said it into a nothingness. Wasn't anything there. When when he said, "Light be," he released a unique form of his glory that, as far as we know anything about, and I believe that, well, let's just leave that with that. He released a unique form of his glory that was the beginning of all matter, natural, material things. Now, spiritual things already existed, but matter is something else again. Now, why did he do that? Why don't you ask him? He'll tell you. I may get around to it if we get that far in this. I just found out myself just a few days ago, praise the Lord. I sure would like to get in there and play around with it, but I better not do that right now. He released this unique form of flesh, things, matter perceptible to touch and feel and smell and sight. When we get to heaven, in heaven, you wouldn't be able to tell that things there are not matter. They're firm. Tables and walls and houses and beautiful things, and people live there. You can't tell that they don't have a flesh and blood body. But they don't. Are you following me here? Angels have bodies, but they're not made out of matter. Their spirit. Jesus said, "Those things that are flesh are flesh, and those things that are spirit are spirit." Amen. Now, there are people in heaven that have flesh and bone bodies, but there's not any blood in it. The glory of God is flowing in their veins. There are those that were resurrected right after Jesus was, and they went through the cities, and they witnessed and testified. They went to talk to their kinfolks and that sort of thing. And Jesus himself said, "Handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have, but that's glorified flesh." But it's still flesh. It's still matter. Are you flowing with me here now?
Yes.
Now stay up with me, because this is taking us somewhere. And you don't need to understand it all, but you need a concept of it right now. This unique form of his glory that produced matter. See, if you bring something from heaven here on this earth, you can't see it. And from the Bible, I could tell you why you can't, and explain some of the spiritual and some of the physics involved in it. But right now, that's not where we're going. But you know that already. Angels are here, but you can't see them. Once in a while, by a divine appearance, you can see one of them. But your eye has to be opened up for that to happen. So They're here, and they're just as real as anybody else. And in heaven, they are of substance, but they're not of matter. Now, in heaven, or on this earth, as far as that goes, flesh to spirit is not firm. I could have my hand on my angel right now. Well, usually he's right here. But I could have my hand on him right now. I can't feel him. I can't see him. Why? He's real. He is of substance, but not matter. And in this earth, spirit to flesh, flesh to spirit is not firm. Now, when you get to heaven, spirit to spirit is firm. Yeah. I mean, my kinfolks are there. Your kinfolks are there. They don't have their physical bodies. Their physical bodies, that matter, is decaying in a grave somewhere. It didn't go away. It never will go away. No human body will ever, 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 ever go away. It's going to be resurrected. And it will be a material body. It won't have any blood in it, but it'll be a material body. And even the dead will be raised in a second death, and that old ugly, terrible, sin-ridden material body will be reunited with their unborn again spirit, and they're going to have to live with that sorry thing forever. It doesn't go away. Amen. Now, follow me here, because we're just about as far as we're going to deal with this tonight. But I want you to have a working concept of this. After the resurrection, see, Jesus is living. He is spirit, soul, and body. But he is a spirit. He has a soul, and he's living in a body. But his body has been glorified, and a glorified material body is flesh to flesh firm. See, this is flesh to flesh. It's firm. I can feel that. I can see it. She can feel it and see it. But now, if I didn't have my body, I couldn't do that. If I could stand here and see her, but she couldn't see me. See, once you get out of your body, you lose the spiritual limit. And you can see over in the spirit, and you can still see in the natural. But you can't contact it. You could scream your head off, and I couldn't hear a word you say unless I picked it up in my spirit somewhere. See, without a divine intervention or an operation of the Holy Ghost. Now, with Jesus now, he's a flesh and bone body glorified. Now we're going somewhere with that name, that glory. That same unique expression light be is the substance of his body. It's created to live in this environment, in this place. And this place is what we're gunning at here. This is where we're living right now. With the glorified body is spirit to spirit firm, flesh to flesh, or material to material firm, and material to spirit firm, and spirit to material firm. The glorified man and woman can live equally well in both places, both in heaven and in earth. That's shouting ground. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. No longer subject to death. No longer subject to the curse, but not mortal, but immortal. That's good, amen, shouting ground right there. Praise God, amen. You'd be shouting except I can almost hear your brain running. And sometimes in the middle of something like it's not a time to shout, it's just a time to soak it up. Now, there was nothing there. God released this unique form of glory, light be. Now, what happened there? There's no planets out there yet. No sunshine, no moon, no stars. What happened? well, for lack of a better way to say this, my spirit's bigger than my mouth here. I can say it in tongues. You want me to hear me say it in tongues? No. I can say it in tongues. I'm having trouble with that. But then I have to interpret it to get it out here to you. And the best way I know to say this is he created the bag. It's the bag that this universe fits in. Keith, am I getting there? Thank you, Lord. The container for this universe. He hadn't put the firmament in it yet. But the whole container, this glory container, this glory bag, this container created in this thing to hold, to contain matter. There was no matter anywhere else. There was no such thing as material planets or substance or all this stuff that to you and to me is just, I mean, that's all there is. It did not exist. Until that moment. Now get this. That container. Oh, forgive me. I can't stand this sometimes. Because I just saw it. I saw it again. Oh, I just saw it bigger than I ever have in my life. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, God, I tell you what. You get any better, I ain't going to be able to stand you. You know that? That glory container that contains the material universe is the boundary of human authority. Woo! In it. Now, you get outside that, you just have to let God run that on his own. I didn't say you couldn't get out there. I don't know, but what we will one of these days, because we're walking towards the glorified man. The only thing of it is, instead of us moving out there with him, the Bible said he's going to move in here with us. That's interesting, isn't it? But now I want you to see that container. It's made out of this part of God that never had been manifest before. Light be. Now then, the container is in place, ready to be filled with material things. And it only has one purpose. There was only one purpose for the planets, only one purpose for the stars, only one purpose for the moons, only one purpose for all of that, and it was for his family. God built on the nursery. Amen. He's planning a family, so he built on, and this thing belongs to us. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that just magnificent?
Yes, it is.
Now, we need to get, that's our base now. light be, light was. There's the container. Now it's ready. It's standing there. Ready to contain material things. A whole universe full of dirt. Balls of dirt going everywhere. Think about it. Whole galaxies full of dirt to play in. Ain't nobody but people like to play in the dirt. So we got billions of galaxies full of little dirt balls flying around out there. All funny looking things, man. All kinds of cute looking things. Got rings around them. And some of them are just a flame of fire to shine light on the dirt. Different colors of dirt. Gold colored dirt. Silver colored dirt. All different kinds of stuff. Precious to us. Dirt to him. We wouldn't have known the difference between dirt and gold. Not much different. I tell you how dumb we've been. We spend billions of dollars digging gold up out of the ground, refining it and putting it back in the ground so nobody can get it. That's brilliant, ain't it? And in the Garden of Eden, it's laying on top of the dirt. Just more dirt, just prettier than the other dirt. Amen. The precious stones that were in the Garden of Eden didn't come from being under pressure under the earth. God created them and put them there. They are matter. And they respond to light. They are particularly precious because of their beauty to the eye of material. God is far more beautiful than those things are. But his man was to have a material eye to see things that other things in the universe couldn't even see. So God made all these gorgeous, beautiful things and put them here for him to look at and to play with. Amen. And to just have a good time while he's playing in the dirt. Biggest thing he's ever going to have to do, play in the dirt. Cause the dirt to change from just dirt to Eden dirt. Hallelujah. And then we were to, this was the pilot project, started with one and then his wife. And it could have gone on and on and on. And there's coming a time when we're going to get rid of this whole messed up thing and get us some new dirt and some new stuff and go at it again. Only this time, we ain't going to foul it up. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God's going to move here with us and we're going to have fun like we ain't never had fun before because Daddy's coming. I'm telling you, Daddy's coming, and we're going to have some good times. Woo! And the Lord told me one day, he said, Ken, if they hadn't have been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought. I said, really? He said, what is there to be serious about if there wasn't any sin? No death, no poverty, no sickness, no disease, just more of a good thing. He said, I never would have had a serious thought. He said, it'd just been praise and joy and having a good time. He said, we'd have had more fun. We're going to do that yet. He said, you just stay with me. We'll get there. Amen. 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 God is a good time God. God is a joy time God. God is a dancing God. God is a singing God. God is a joy-filled, glorified, diamond loving God. And I'm not talking about them Mickey Mouse little things you wear on your finger. I mean, they're nice and all that. But he has a gate made out of one solid pearl. And it's 200 feet high. Think about the oyster. No, it didn't take an oyster. Woo! Say, Copeland, you're out of your mind. Yeah. And I ain't coming back either. Don't get me back in that mess. I got out here in this book, praise the Lord, sojourning through the stars and the heavens. Hallelujah. Now, God did all that because he was planning on turning the authority for all of this over to the man. And so he crowned the man with light. He crowned him with glory. He crowned him by speaking the mandate, the blessing. Turned it over to him. And the scripture said all things were put under his feet, under his command. And then God just got out of his way. He only kept one thing. God only kept one thing. Out of all of this whole big thing, God only kept one thing for himself. One little thing. Out of all of this, he only kept one thing. He kept one tree. One. And it wasn't because he was hungry. Huh? No. I want to ask you something. Did you ever stop and think about what God does with your tithe? He spends it on you. Yeah, he don't keep any of it. It wasn't because he needed the money. He needed communion with you.
Amen.
Now, here's where Adam got in trouble. Adam did not lose that blessing just because his wife and subsequently him took a bite out of that piece of fruit. There was way, way more to it than that. To begin with, he picked it green. Didn't have any business picking that fruit at that time. It wasn't his. So he stole it. A lot involved in this. He stole it. He picked it green. Disobeyed God. His trouble, the thing he got into trouble over was his tithe. The fruit off that tree was his tithe. He was required to handle it. He was required to take care of it. He was required to bring it to God. His wife didn't think they were supposed to touch it. But what she was talking about was not touching it until it was ripe. But she had that all messed up. But she didn't know. She only had one source of information, and obviously he hadn't done a good job of telling her what God said. Satan was able to deceive her. It wasn't because she's stupid. It was because she didn't have good information. Well, that's his fault, not God's. But that tree was the center of it all. And it was the communion place with his family. Now, let me ask you something else here. This is so important. It is so vital to what we're into right now and where we're going with this. If we don't get this, then you never will get the fullness of the rest of it, where we're headed. Satan said, God doesn't want you to have this information. The English Bible uses the word know, that you will know good and evil like God. Now back up here a minute. God does not know evil. The word translated know there means intimate relationship and involvement. He has never experienced evil. Jesus never sinned, but he understood evil. Amen? That's a different thing. How did he find it out? He didn't have to sin to find it out. Now, Satan said, God doesn't want you to be intimately involved with evil like I am. And conned her into that. Now, It was not in God's plan for Adam to be ignorant of anything. But he was to learn it from God and not the devil. The devil wasn't the teacher then, and he's not the teacher now. He's a crook. He is a thief. He doesn't own anything, and he's not qualified to teach anybody, much less the body of Christ. Sickness is not the teacher of the church. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church, and he's the healer. Amen. So now, here is another problem. God fully intended, when the fullness of time had come, the fruit is ripe, he was to tend it, he was to watch after it, he already knew that, God had already instructed him to that. He was to bless that tree. He was to bless that fruit right along with all the rest of it. And all of the rest of that garden was actually his to do with whatever he wanted to do with. He was supposed to, however, take care of that tree just the same as he took care of the other. Now, I've learned over the years to take better care of that one than I do my own. Take better care of the tithe than I do my own. I get more excited about my tithing account than I do my personal bank account. I get so thrilled when that tithe account's going up because I'm going to have me some fun. I'm going to get to give. I'm going to get to do whatever the Lord is telling me to do. I'm telling you, that tithing gets good, man. Glory to glory. And I have more fun tithing. But now the whole idea behind tithing, you remember when Abram went to God to tithe from the spoils of the battle? God sent Melchizedek down there with the bread and the wine and said, go bless him. In Malachi, he said, I will bless you beyond what you're able to contain. The blessing, the glory manifestation in your life. The Garden of Eden itself exploding. The heading of my Bible, right there where we read about Isaac in the 26th chapter of Genesis, it said, God blessed Isaac and Isaac got rich.
My.
It's exactly what happened.
Amen.
The blessing maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. Now if you analyze that, it says the blessing he. The blessing and God are one. Hallelujah. So, should have worked that tree, blessed it. He should have taken better care of it than any other tree in the garden. He should have seen to it first. It should have got the best of everything. But of course, there wasn't anything bad there. He should have had more fun working that tree, he and his wife, than any other thing in there. And he should have gotten Satan by the nap of the neck, took that talking snake, then took it over there and jammed his face up next to that tree and said, boom, now you see that tree? Bam, that tree right there. Boom, boom, boom. That tree, you understand? Knots all over that snake's head. See that tree? Now shut your sorry mouth. I curse you, you walk on your belly and you eat dirt. See, he had the power to do that. He should have done that instead of God having to do that. Got rid of that snake right there. Put him out to lunch. Amen. So, he should have picked ripe fruit, his tithe, and met God in the center of the garden. And in that time of fellowship and worship, who knows, it might have lasted months, years, who knows. God, I want you to know. Now, I mean, man, there would have been a glorified fireworks show like nobody had ever seen before. Who knows what all God would have done in the middle of all that. He never got the chance. The scholars tell us, I mean the old sages tell us, the Hebrew sages say it didn't last all day. He fell before the end of the first day. Man. But had he followed through, God would have met him, and there is his fruit. You see the pattern of it with first fruits. You see the pattern of it with the tithe. You see the pattern of how do you see Cain got in trouble over the tithe, didn't he? Well, how'd he know to tithe? Because his daddy got in trouble over it. That's how he knew. That's the reason Abel knew how to tithe righteously by faith. It was not because Cain brought of his crops of the field. That wasn't a problem. It wasn't because he didn't have a lamb. He brought his he brought his fruit, but he didn't bring the first. He brought the third picking. I mean, he got down to the nubbins before he ever took anything. Now, you folks that never come off the farm, you know what nubbins are. But nubbins are no good, brother. I mean, that old nubbin corn is like trying to eat saddle leather. It's really cow feed. You get down to that third picking, them old third beans, you're all swiveled up, no good, like just terrible stuff. And that's what he brought to God. And God told him, he said, now boy, sin is at the door. And the problem was, he brought something that meant nothing to him. And he had no faith in it. There was no faith in it at all. And God told him. He said, if you'll repent and put some faith in this, I'll accept it. I'll accept your old sorry gift anyway. In other words, he just let him repent and we'll start this over again. But he wouldn't do it. He got mad. And he kept getting madder and madder and madder. And he kept on until he committed murder. I know some people that'd kill over it today if they'd get away with it. Now, if he had done that, what would have happened? God would have trained him, taught him, spent much time with him. He would have taught him the ins and the outs of this blessing. He would have taught him that universe. He would have taught him about all of these trillions and trillions of angels that he had created just for his purpose and for his use. Praise God. Hallelujah. But instead of doing that, he bowed his knee to Satan. And then all of those angels had to leave here. The only ones that stayed lost their place with God. They became what you and I have to battle today. The wickedness. They were sent here to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. God created them to fit inside this container of material things under subject to man's authority and the blessing on him. They're part of that blessing. That's what they do. That's what they are. They are here to help carry out Adam's mandate in the earth. Well, then what happened when God immediately made a covenant with Adam? He had to get him out of that garden. It wasn't because he couldn't leave him in the garden. It was because he couldn't leave him around certain of those trees. He had to get him out of there. He got out there where there wasn't any Garden of Eden, and it's pretty tough sledding, brother. That thing without the blessing on it was a bad place to be. Not only that, it had the curse on it now. And I mean the ground was mad at the man. And everything else was mad at him. Well, I'd been there, I'd been mad at him too. Don't you imagine this? Some people really had conversations with him over the last 6,000 years. He's number one. I mean, and everybody come in there and say, I want to talk to you. He said, I've heard it all. I don't want to hear it. Now don't bring it up to me no more. When I got here, wasn't nobody here. No, God's forgiven him. But now you remember this now. God began immediately to get that mandate, get that command, get that power, because it is the glory that manages this whole universe, and that's why Satan wanted it. But he didn't get it. All he got was the curse. And he became the god of this world. And the long and short of it is, the scripture says he is bound to what's common to man. He is still stuck with this. He was created to serve man. He was created as a ministering spirit. He was not created as a god. He was not created to be commander of anything. He was a servant for this man. And his command was to come under him. And now he had the man under him, but instead of elevating Satan, it just demoted the man. And he still didn't have anything. And now he's stuck on this planet and couldn't get out of here. He can't touch the stars anymore. He's bound up. He can't get out of here. And that's the reason he's still fighting God, trying his best to overcome this thing. But that just proves how stupid he is. You know, anybody thinks they can overcome God's got to be a dimwit, man. I mean, you gotta lie to yourself first to believe that. Amen. He didn't want to serve anybody, he wanted to be served. And so that's, he went after it, but he didn't get it. Now, the glory is the command force. This is what I want you to get out of this. This whole thing, this whole universe, this whole, all material things, everything material, everything in this whole material thing, the whole thing, the Bible said Jesus is upholding all things, all things. You get things now? You see what we're talking about in things? This whole material thing is being upheld by the word of his power. What word? The ultimate word that's upholding this whole thing is be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and have dominion over it. But then the Bible said God gave Adam his glory and gave him authority over all of the works of his hands. But now the mess that it's in now, we don't see it in that authority. But Jesus said, all authority, both in heaven and in earth, has been given to me. Amen. Amen. That means we're joint heir to this thing, doesn't it? Now, don't be so hot about having authority over Mars until you do something about your own bank account, okay? Praise God. Amen. Better start at home and believe your way out instead of trying to get out there and believe your way back. But now you can see why man's inner desire is to go to the stars. In certain ways, he belongs out there. But he don't belong out there with an oxygen suit on or some kind of space suit or any kind of apparatus that's made by his own hand. Huh? Well, you know, I mean, he can play around out here. It, you know, messing around between here and the moon is like being ankle deep in a wading pool and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? No, it's just foot wet. It's wonderful to a 3-year-old. But try to hold the Olympics in a backyard wading pool. I mean, that, you know, and that's like being in outer space between here and the moon. There, God, you ain't got out of sight yet. Oh, but Brother Copeland, we sent a spaceship to Mars. Think about that. One dirt ball to another. And there are 50 billion galaxies like this one. Now we're talking about over in the next yard. Amen. We're talking about going next door and see the neighbors. Amen. When you're talking about 50 billion galaxies. You are crossing the universe. 50 billion galaxies ain't going to cross the universe. This bag is so big. It is so big. They can't nobody think the whole world won't hold the zeros, man. But it all belongs to your big brother. And there's coming a time very soon when you'll get to travel it. Only it's not going to be in some goofy spaceship that runs 15, 20,000 miles an hour, like, you know, like orbiting the Earth or something like that. Dear God, that's slower than an itch. The Bible said God's chariot is as fast as the lightning from the east to the west. That means it exceeds the speed of light. Oh yeah, God's got a spaceship. I got my bid in. I'm going to fly that thing, man. I tell you, I can't hardly wait. I got to get my hand on one of them. I believe he got me one, but I want to fly his. Mine probably be pretty decent, but boy, his, dear God. 186,000 miles a second in first gear. Amen. And it's still, what he's talking about is still a material thing. It's ours. That belongs to us, praise God. We got angels that fly them. Said, Brother Copeland, you gone completely wild. Yes! Come on out here with me, brother. I'm telling you, it is out of this world. Glory. Now, why do we need to be dealing with it? Two reasons. One, you get a good strong handle on this and you'll quit struggling over the anointing. You get a good strong handle over this and you'll quit struggling over healing and ministering healing and miracles. All we're talking about in miracles is just a quick fix. That's easy. I used to say God's nature is to do miracles. It is not. It never been his nature to do miracles. It ain't never been in his nature to screw it up to start with. A miracle is just simply getting something back online that somebody else messed up. That's what miracles are for. The nature of the word is to keep it in line and not get it out there messed up in the first place. We ought to be living by faith. We ought to be living in divine health. We ought to be living in divine prosperity. I'm telling you, glory to God. Oh, yeah, you have to fight the fight of faith. Yes, you have to fight the works of evil and the devil, but it's not a fight. It's an overcoming fight. It's an occupying fight. We are the occupying force. The devil's already been defeated. Put him under your feet and don't let him up. Say, shut up, you ain't getting out from under. The Bible said, I want you to get this. You need to get a picture of this. I have to do this every so often for my own mind. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, not a pillar, footstool. He is the head of the body, but the body is the fullness of him. He doesn't have any feet without us. Man, that is weak. His enemy, Satan, death, sickness, disease, the curse, should be under our feet. Hallelujah. And just ride herd on him by faith. Redeemed from the curse. Glory to God. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from back pain. Glory to God. I'm redeemed from degenerative joint disease. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse. put him underfoot and keep him there. And every time he makes a noise, put some pressure on him. Don't let him out from under there. The way you let him out from under there is violating the commandment of love. Amen. Oh, we're gonna tear around in here this week. You're going to get to the point where you are handling the glory, where you are conscious of the fact that Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing in me, my hope, my divine expectancy of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the glorious gospel. It's the glorious name of Jesus. It is the glory of God. It is His glory in our bosom. It is the light of His glory. His word says, you are born of the light. You are light. Put on the armor of light. Let there be light. Yes, thank you very much. So let there be light. I said that. I'm imitating God. Walk around in your bedroom. You don't know what to do. And your mind is, the answers are not there, it doesn't seem like. And you need the wisdom of God. You walk around in the room and say, light be. Let there be light. I speak to the light of God in me. I'm born of the light. I'm the seed of light. I am light of God. He's the light of my life. His word in the entrance thereof brings light into my spirit. Light be. Light. Glory to God. You ought to read the Gospel of John sometime. You talk about it all the time. Why don't you read it? Jesus said moments before he went to the cross, the glory that thou hast given me, I've given it to them. Yeah. Oh, Brother Copeland, I thought the Bible said that no human could have the glory. That's what you get for thinking instead of reading. He didn't say that. He said no flesh can be glorified in his presence. And he won't share his glory with any flesh. You're a part of his glory. You're born of his glory.
That's right.
It's in your bosom. The blessing is in you. The moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, the very seed to the Garden of Eden was born on the inside of you. Jesus came to get that blessing back. And the Bible said he was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That he bore that curse for us. He was made a curse for us. Amen. So that the blessing of Abraham, which originally was Adam's blessing, and God got it back through a blood covenant with a man, said the same thing to him. Multiply, be fruitful. I'll bless you. That's what he said to his son. He said, I will perform the blessing. I'll perform the oath that I swore to your father, and I'll bless you. The blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through the anointing of Jesus. My God. And we are heirs according to the promise. Mm. Oh, my. I'm an heir to the glory. I'm an heir to the blessing. Hallelujah. It's mine. Now, I don't just go around saying, just God bless you. I say it a lot, but when I say it, I am conscious of the fact that I am by faith releasing God's glory in somebody's life.
Hallelujah.
Now, when I catch you by the hand sometime and I say, God bless you, sir, I mean it.
Yes.
I didn't just, God bless you. You know where that sneeze blessing came from? Years and years and years ago, medical science decided that when somebody sneezes, their heart is the closest to stopping than at any other time. Now, I don't know how true that turned out to be, but they're saying, God bless you. God keep you. In other words, don't die, man. Just sneeze. So I guess the devil picked up on that and got us to where we would say, ha, whoo, I must be coming down with something. I believe I'm catching the flu. Well, you believe it, you got it now. Just a matter of time. So I taught my children when they were young to when they sneeze, they'd say, whoo, Daddy, I'm catching healing right now. Praise God. And by the time they got to school, they thought that's what you're supposed to say. They didn't know anybody else said that other stuff till they got in school and heard some of that unbelief coming out of them Christians, you know, over there. But they still say it till yet. Amen. Instead of saying, I must be getting sick. I'm catching something. I believe I'm coming down. Well, I'm not. I'm coming up. Praise God. Glory to God. And I learned a long time ago that when I sneeze or something like that, I'll say, glory to God, I'm redeemed, praise God. Tie your faith to those kind of things. Tie your faith to it. So it just becomes automatic with you. Learn to tie faith to everything you do. I mean, tie faith to that shower or to the bathtub. Just every time you get in there, make your mind up. You'll only have to do it for about 12, 13 days, it'll become a habit with you. So when you walk in that shower, you start praising God instead of some other stupid something or other. You know, I made it a point that when I walk in my shower, I pray for my partners. So every time I get in the shower, my partners get prayed for. Praise the Lord. And it's funny now, I step in that shower stall, you know, and before I ever get a hold of the shower, I've been doing this for years and years and years. Before I even get a hold of the knob, you know, to turn the shower on, I'm already praying for my partners. And sometimes it starts when I walk in the bathroom door. I'm already praying for glory to God, bless my partners. I pray in the name of Jesus. And by this time I'm going in that shower, instead of some asinine song, amen, or some other silliness, have something you tie to your toothbrush. Put that toothbrush, pick that toothbrush up and say, glory to God, my mouth is healed and I'll be well the rest of my day. I'll never lose my teeth, praise the Lord, and just go to brushing. Now, the devil stole some teeth off me before I learned that. Amen. But he ain't got any of the rest of them. Praise the Lord. I want you to know. And I got me some new ones since then too. Woo, I'm telling you. I got me some implants. Come on. You know what implants are? How many? Back here where the devil stole some teeth out of my head. Now actually he used a dentist to do it. And he did. This particular dentist, back when I was a sinner, he got hold of my mouth and he killed a bunch of the nerves in a bunch of my teeth. And he really hurt me and he kept doing what he's doing. I said, if you do that again, I'm going to take a thing away from you. I'm going to spank you right here and now. Now, whatever you're doing, you better quit. Because I meant it. I thought, man, I'm going to hurt him bad as he's hurting me. But he killed a bunch of teeth. So The new teeth, they used titanium screws and screwed those things down into the bone. Y'all see an x-ray of it. There's two of them in there. I mean, it looked like some kind of mechanical animal or something. Like, you know, because they got them little bolts in the bones and then they kept that tooth on top of that thing. I can bite your thumb off with my jaw teeth. Amen. Ain't no devil getting my metal teeth. Uh-uh. But I still like my real ones. I'm 70 years old. And he ain't getting no more of them. Amen. I'm telling you. So what? You tie certain things to the word. And if you notice, you've got certain things that you do and say just about everything you do. It'll be some little silly, stupid, dumb, unbelieving statement that goes along with it a lot of the time. Well, you can tie faith to that just as easy. You ought to tie faith to the door handle on your car. Amen. You walk up there and you say, "Whoo, thank you for this fine, faith-filled, glorified car. Glory be to God. Thank you for this debt-free vehicle here." Man, I got started at that way, 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 way back there. And I still do. I thank God I'll never be in debt another day of my life. Amen. I'm a debt-free man. Debt-free man. When I started saying that, I owed everybody, a lot of people that done forgot about it. And paid every one of them. Amen. But that's one of the ways I got it started right there. Tie faith to things. You're a faith being. Tie the word of God to it. Tie healing to it. Get you a bunch of 3x5 cards and write healing scriptures on. And put them on the telephone and put them on the TV knob and put everywhere. Put them on a refrigerator. You spend more time there than you do anywhere else. And begin to speak words over your food.
That's right.
The kind of food you eat.
That's right.
Get rid of all them chemicals people are putting in your food and all that. Start believing God for whole food and train you what's good and what's bad and pray over it all. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
See, I'm a fanatic. That's the reason I'm so well.
Amen.
Strong.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's enough for one night stand. Let's believe God together. Amen. In the name of Jesus, take your Bible in one hand, raise the other hand up towards heaven, and say it out loud firmly, "Because of this book, I am what God says I am. This book says I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Jesus, the blessing of glory. I am blessed. In the name of Jesus. I am blessed. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed and well. I am blessed and I'm made whole. I'll never be broke another day in my life because I'm blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. And I say it by faith. I'm rich in my spirit. I'm rich in my mind. I'm rich in my health. I'm rich in my body. I'm rich in my bank. I'm rich in my family. I'm rich in heaven and in earth. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I said I'm blessed. Now give the Lord a shout and a praise in the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. I said glory, 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 glory. The manifestation of the blessing, saith the Lord, is at an all-time high. You are approaching a blessing manifestation of glory that is an explosion in ways and in intensity that the human race has never seen before. It will look in the spirit the way terrorism looks in the natural, as if it is absolutely everywhere and unstoppable. Oh, don't ever get the idea that terrorism is unstoppable. No, no, no. I said in the 54th chapter of Isaiah that terror will arise, but not by me, and it will not come nigh you. That's my promise, saith the Lord. And if you will take it, the blessing will surround you. The blessing will encase you. And you will learn to walk in the secret place of the Most High God. Blessed in His blessing. Blessed in His glory. Blessed in your comings. Blessing in your goings. Blessed in your pocketbook. All debt will have to get up and leave you the way leprosy left the lepers of old. Debt, saith the Lord. Oh, my, my, Lord. Oh, my, say that again. I never heard that before. Woo-wee. Glory. Debt is financial sickness. It is financial leprosy. It's an attempt to do with the natural world's monies and abilities what I created the blessing to do for you. Only it is a burden and not a blessing. Debt is part of the curse. And if you will begin to confess it, you will be shocked and thrilled at how quickly you will have the glory arise and drive the debt out of your life. And if you'll bring your tithe to me and spend time with me, spend time with me, spend time with me, tithing that tithe to me, then I will teach you and I will train you and I will show you how to be debt free, just like I have others around you. And I will bless you beyond your means. I will bless you beyond your income. I will bless you beyond your salaries. I will bless you beyond anything you've ever known before. I will show you things to come. I will show you things that you never heard of before. And you will take advantage of those things and be financially blessed and all of that. But I'll tell you, I'll bring financial blessing on you that you ain't got any idea where it came from. It has come to an explosive place. It's ready. I'm ready, saith the Lord. If you will begin to confess it, and if you will begin to walk in it, and if you will make it a priority in your life, then the glory will manifest in your midst, and you will give me praise, and I will come and visit you, and together we will have a grand time, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Pastors, ministers of churches, it's time for the glory to manifest in and among your congregation. If you will begin to teach it, if you will begin to preach it, if you will begin to reveal it from my word, I will manifest myself, saith the Lord. If you'll preach and teach on the love of God, and you will preach and teach on my glory, I will begin to manifest it in your midst, and you will have glorification manifestation, and there'll be things happen that it'll take you 6 months to figure out what it was. It will get so heavy in your congregation from time to time that people in there will not be able to see one another because of the thickness of the manifestations of the glory. Some of you are going to have it manifest in your cars. Manifest as you travel. Praise God. Amen. I preached all week in a hotel one time. We were in a convention there with some other people, and I preached there all week long. I finally told Gloria, towards the end of the week, I said, Gloria, I got to get out of this hotel. I said, I haven't been out of this thing in 6 days. Let's get out of here. Just go take a walk or something. And I had another service to preach that night. So she and I just caught hands and out the door of the hotel we went. And we got outside and it was a bright, beautiful, clear, blue sky. Not a cloud in the sky. And I turned and looked up. This is a high-rise building. And I looked up and the whole top of that building from about the second floor up was clouded. It was shrouded by rainbow-looking clouds and all different. I said, my glory, look. It was the glory had manifested around that building. There was so much word going forth in that building, it just came down around it. It's the same cloud that Israel saw in the daytime in the wilderness. The scripture says it was a manifestation of God's glory. Well, we saw it on that building. I know one man very, very well, very good friend of mine. I've preached in his church. He had a fire break out in the attic of that church. They called the fire department. Fire in the attic of the church. The fireman crawled up in there and he come crawling back down as fast as he could. He said, I don't know what that is up there, but there ain't no kind of fire I ever saw. Amen. Well, see, these kind of manifestations come when you preach the gospel concerning it. It's time to preach these things. Time to move in it. Oh, it's here. It's here right now. The glory is here right now. Just receive it. It's mine. Glory to God. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Yes, amen. Jesse, come up and give an invitation, please. Oh, hallelujah. God be glorified. The glory among us, manifest. The glory of God, manifest. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.